There we go.
Okay, we ready? Okay. Good evening and welcome to tonight's Monroe City Council meeting. This is a city council meeting for regular business meeting for June 12, 2018. The time right now is 7:10 p.m. Ms. Atkinson, will you please call the roll?
Certainly. Council members present and establishing a quorum are Hanford, Davis, Camp, and Gamble.
Thank you. Councilmember Dave, and we heard from Councilmember Scarborough and Councilmember Cutterback, and also from Councilmember Rasmussen that they would not be here this evening for either work or family-related reasons. Without objection, we'll go ahead and consider them as excused absences. Okay, Councilmember Davis, will you please lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Councilmembers, I'm going to respectfully request a motion to amend the agenda to add a third proclamation. The third proclamation I would propose would follow the Flag Day proclamation, and it would be for Amateur Radio Week.
So moved.
I have a motion from Councilmember Camp, a second from Councilmember Davis, to amend the agenda to add amateur radio to the agenda as announcement and presentation item number 2.5, I suppose. Okay, thank you very much. Any discussion on the motion?
Yeah.
Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 4-0. All right, thank you. The first item that we have on our agenda this evening is AB 18-131. This is a presentation from Sky Valley Little League for donation for the Lake Tye Parks All Weather Fields. And we have here, Mr. Farrell is going to come and say a few words. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Good evening, Mayor. Good evening, Council. So here with me tonight is Vanessa Harrison. She is the president of the Sky Valley Little League, and she is going to present a ceremonial check that represents a generous donation of $10,000 toward the Lake Tye All-Weather Fields project. So super excited, very proud of our league and in our community. So I know the Sky Valley Little League, as well as other organizations, but they recognize the benefits, the huge benefits that converting the natural grass fields to all weather and lighted fields are going to give to all our young athletes in our community. In addition to the $10,000 donation, they also are proposing to provide mounds, bases, and other baseball-related equipment for the new field, and they can also be utilized by other baseball and softball groups in our community. So with that, Vanessa, if you'd like to come on.
Okay, so here is our check from the league to the city. We could not do what we do without the city field. We count on the Parks Department and the city to provide these fields for these kids. This might be the only opportunity they get to play baseball, and it's for a couple of not very reliable seasons in our year. So with this all-weather field, we know that the kids will be able to play no matter what the conditions, and that we will be able to enjoy these fields year after year. We're going to put boxes, mounds, and all of the equipment, bases, and all of the umpire equipment in the boxes for everyone around to use as well. We do that now, but we will continue to do that for the new field. So we're very excited for this project and very excited you asked us to be a part of it. So this is for you guys.
Thank you very much. Let's go down and pick it up. Next item that we have on our agenda is numbered 2. Is announcements and presentation item number two. This is a proclamation for Flag Day, which is June 14th, 2018. Whereas on June 14th, 1777, the American flag was adopted by the Continental Congress, and in 1916, President Woodrow Wilson issued a proclamation to officially establish June 14th as Flag Day. And whereas the American flag stands as a symbol of American freedoms and liberties for all people, and whereas the 13 stripes represent the original 13 colonies, the stars represent the 50 states of the Union, and whereas the colors of the flag are symbolic, red for hardiness and valor, white for purity and innocence, and blue for vigilance, perseverance, and justice, and whereas the Tualco Grange number 284 displays about 120 flags along Main Street and Lewis Street in downtown Monroe on Flag Day, major federal holidays, Armed Forces Day, and the Evergreen State Fair Days Parade, now therefore I, Jeffrey Thomas, do hereby thank the volunteers of the Tualco Grange number 284 for displaying the American flags on Main Street and Lewis Street, and encourage residents and businesses to display American flags and reflect upon the history and meaning of our flag, especially on June 14th, 2018, which is Flag Day. And I invite Harriet and Alan Barr from the Grange to come forward. Council members, please come down.
Can I have the rest of the volunteers?
Absolutely, yes.
Would the rest of you please come forward?
Absolutely. And we need to step in front of the podium.
This is only part of the group.
We have 120 flags, so that's, you need to have a big break. Do we have enough of a width there?
What are you trying to say?
Thank you very much.
You're coming. We're good. You're an adventurous man. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely.
The next item that we have on our agenda is a proclamation for Amateur Radio Week. Whereas amateur radio operators are celebrating over a century of miracle of the human voice broadcast over the airwaves, and whereas amateur radio operators serve as bridges between people, communities, and countries, and whereas amateur radio operators have volunteered countless hours of community service during times of calm and in times of emergency, and whereas these same individuals have further demonstrated their value in public assistance by providing free radio communications for local parades, triathlons, and other public events, and whereas the City of Monroe values the services amateur radio operators deliver to emergency response organizations, including the Monroe Emergency Management Office, and whereas beginning June 23, 2018, a 24-hour amateur radio field day exercise will take place to demonstrate radio amateur operator skills and readiness to deliver self-supporting communication without further infrastructure being required. Now, therefore, I, Jeffrey Thomas, do hereby proclaim June 18th through June 24th, 2018, as Amateur Radio Week in Monroe, and encourage residents and businesses to join me in thanking our amateur radio operators for their service. So please come forward.
I just wanted to make a quick thank you to the city for all the support that you have showed for our club and for the amateur radio community in general, and we look forward to working with you in the future on all of these things. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Can I ask a question?
Yep.
Yes, sir.
So is there, do you get a point system if you have elected officials stop by your...
Yes, I do, and I did in fact want to invite each and every single one of you to come to the Sky River Park. Uh-huh. We'll be there from 11 to about 7 p.m. You can see our operations, how we are working, see the equipment that we have available, we make available in case bad things happen, because bad things do happen.
Thank you very much, Council.
Thank you.
Did I destroy
it? Sounds a little favoritism going on the presentation here.
Yeah. Got to thank Brian for that.
Thank you.
All right, the next item is one final proclamation today. This is for Father's Day. Whereas Father's Day is dedicated to honor remarkable men who strive and sacrifice all year, inspire us to reach great heights, and support us no matter what the challenges are that we face or the paths that we choose. And whereas we celebrate the men who raise us, who love us unconditionally, who do whatever it takes to set us on the road to success and want nothing more than for us to lead happy, healthy lives. And whereas fathers are providers, community leaders, and pillars of family, and through their example, they teach the future dreamers and doers the value of hard work, compassion, service, and personal responsibility. And whereas fathers help provide discipline, guidance, love, generosity, persistence, patience, integrity, help build our core, and help us understand right from wrong. And whereas we give thanks to fathers who support us, mentor us, act as role models, who enrich our lives and shape our character. Now, therefore, I, Jeffrey Thomas, do hereby recognize Sunday, June 17th, 2018, as Father's Day, and proclaim a very happy Father's Day to all those who embody fathers in our lives, and encourage Monroe's residents and businesses to honor and express love and gratitude to fathers everywhere. Council members, there's a Father's Day proclamation for each of you. Thank you very much.
It's fantastic.
Oh, you got the sticker that says make certain we get copies to each of you. Oh, we ran out of gold seals. So.
Here's actually, it's like just being at home. Here, Dad, we ran out of that
so I gave him the only one that doesn't have a sticker and it has on there. We ran out of gold seals. So there you go.
Gold seal. Later, if you bring it back.
That's funny. Okay. All right. The next item we have on our agenda is AB 18-132, confirmation of parks appointments. This has my name by it. As you are aware, we have two openings on the Parks and Recreation Advisory Board. We put out a notice for people interested in the position. We received three applications. One of them, unfortunately, was a little ways out of town and did not qualify for the position, but we had three great applicants. I am appointing and requesting respectfully your confirmation or approval of the appointments for two people. One of them is Ron Petrick. Mr. Petrick used to work for the Monroe Parks and Recreation Department. He has a great deal of experience and a great deal of history with our parks and recreation system. He's had experience with working with different organizations that can help bring additional resources to support our parks and recreation system. My request is that you consider and approve the confirmation of his appointment to the one that is currently unexpired. It would begin upon your confirmation and expire on December 31st of 2018. The other person that I met and interviewed is Miss Jessie Robinson. She has three kids, and of course lives here in Monroe. She frequents our parks on a regular basis. She's got a lot of experience as a mom and a resident here in town, and I enjoyed our conversation about the different things that she likes about our parks, and I think that she also brings a very valuable voice to our Parks and Recreation Board, and simply request a motion to confirm the appointments. Council members, do you have any questions for me? Councilmember Gamble?
No questions. I read the applications. I always just appreciate when people willing to volunteer step up and get involved. So thank you. Thank you both very, very much. So with that, I'll move to confirm the mayor's appointment of Mr. Ron Petrick and Ms. Jessie Robinson to the Monroe Parks Board.
Second.
Thank you. I have a first from Councilmember Gamble, a second from Councilmember Davis for the requested action in motion, Agenda Bill number 18-132. Discussion on the motion. Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. I, too, was greatly was impressed by the applications there, and as usual, whenever we do appointments, I'd like to ask for input from staff or anyone up here that has any input on the two up for appointment. So I see Mike, that you were mentioned, and so I would just ask that if anyone has anything to say, that they say it. Thanks.
Okay. Everything said?
So I'm speaking of Ron Petrick. As the mayor mentioned, he's been working for the city and the Parks Department from when we were a much smaller city, I think less than half the size we are now, to now. So he's seen a lot of parks get developed, trails and programs grow. He's a lifelong resident of Monroe, too, so he has that perspective. So it's really nice with various park board members to come from different perspectives and add different elements to group instead of just having kind of just one single like group thing. And as far as Ms. Robinson, I remember meeting her at one of the pop-up studios when we were master planning the parks, and she's been, was really intrigued and was participating strongly in those open houses for Lake Tide Park and also for the future cabin site. So.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Any other questions? Any other discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 4-0. Thank you very much. And please come forward. I believe that you're going to be taking it up.
Ron?
Hello?
Saw you
ladies
first.
No,
you got ladies. Oh, thank you. Okay, great. Go ahead and raise your right hand. And I'm going to go ahead and read the oath, and then you can choose to swear or affirm when I am finished by saying I do or I will. Okay. Jesse R. Robinson, you do solemnly swear or affirm that you will support the Constitution and laws of the United States and the State of Washington and ordinances of the City of Monroe, and that you will faithfully and impartially perform and discharge the duties of a park board member according to law and to the best of your ability and understanding.
I do.
Congratulations.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate this opportunity to serve our community and represent lots of stay-at-home moms and, parents of little kids. I don't know how many are on the park board already, but I think that oftentimes it's hard to have those people be involved when they're busy with little ones all the time. So I appreciate this opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Welcome aboard.
Yep.
Thank you.
Ron Pedro.
Okay.
I will go ahead and read your own Massachusetts for everything I feel right to my name.
Okay.
I, Ron Petrick, do solemnly swear and affirm that you will support the Constitution and laws of the United States and State of Washington and ordinances of the City of Monroe, and that you will faithfully and impartially perform and discharge the duties of park board member according to law and to the best of your ability and understanding. Congratulations.
Thank you very much, and I'm really excited to help out. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. So, Board Member Petrick and Board Member Robinson, congratulations.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to go ahead and move on to the next item on the agenda. Next item on the agenda is public comments. This is a time set aside for members of the audience or public to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter that is subject to a public hearing. We do have a sign-in sheet. Nobody has signed in. Is there anybody that would like to come forward to speak to the City Council this evening? Anybody at all? Okay, seeing none, we're going to go ahead and move on to an executive session. Unfortunately, I have to request that everybody leave the room. We are going to have an executive session for potential litigation, pursuant to RCW 42.30.110, subsection 1, subsection I, for approximately 5 minutes. And there will be action to follow as we still have the rest of our agenda before us. Thank you. Okay, we are back in regular session, and we are now moving to the consent agenda. Councilmembers, two things. One, I am requesting that we remove consent agenda item number 6 from the agenda, from the consent agenda. That is AB 18-135, ordinance number 013-2018. It's the 2018 budget amendment for final reading. Reason for this is that we do need to have a majority of the body of the council plus one, which would be 5 council members to vote in the affirmative of that. We only have 4 this evening, so I am going to pull that unless there's an objection to doing that. Okay, seeing no objection. The other item to advise you of is that the payroll, the AP checks and ACH payments, the online version did not include this, so we've passed this around. Sorry, we were having a couple of items that did not make the agenda this week. That was the one that was more important of the two. All right. So with that said, Councilmember Hanford.
I move to approve consent agenda items number 1 through 5.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Hanford, a second from Councilmember Davis to approve consent agenda items 1 through 5. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 4-0. Thank you. We're now going to move on to unfinished business item number 1. This is AB 18-136, resolution number 012-2018, stay out of drug areas vicinity. This is being presented by Interim Deputy Chief Irving.
Thank you. Good evening, Council, Mayor, Administrator Knight, and Attorney Lill. How are you? So on March 20th, 2018, City Council adopted an ordinance adding Monroe Municipal Code 9.25 stay out of drug area orders. The proposed resolution adopts the map and seen in Exhibit A where the soda is located. This concludes my briefing. Are there any questions?
Councilmembers, are there any questions? Okay, is there a motion? Councilmember Gamble.
No questions. I remember well. I'll move to approve resolutions number 012-2018, adopted in accordance with Chapter 9.25 MMC, establishing a stay-out-of-drug-area soda in the general vicinity of State Route 2 and Main Street, setting forth supportive findings and providing for an immediate effective date.
Second. Yeah, first from Councilmember Gamble, a second from Councilmember Hanford. Any discussion on the motion? The motion is for the requested action in Agenda Bill number 18-136. Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 4-0. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next item on the agenda is new business. This is new business item number 1, AB 18-137, ordinance number 015-2018, amending MMC 20.12, transportation impact fees for first reading. Mr. Feilberg.
The city adopted the transportation impact fees. Part of the ordinance required that the city update the fees based on the construction cost index, which is established by the Washington State Department of Transportation. And since at that time there was wild fluctuations from year to year, and that we changed it to a 5-year rolling average. So, and it's required to be adopted at around the same time as the transportation improvement program, which you're doing tonight too, or already did tonight. And so this year the change in the price is about 0.5%, so all the fees went up by about 0.5%, and that's just the requirement that is already in the ordinance. If there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you. Council members, any questions, comments, or... okay, any questions or a motion? All right. Is there a motion?
Yeah. Too deep.
Councilmember Gamble.
Yes. Move to accept as first reading ordinance number 015-2018, amending chapter 20.12 MMC, transportation impact fees, updating the city's codified transportation impact fee schedule pursuant to MMC 20.12.130, providing for severability and establishing an effective date.
Second.
Yeah, I have a motion from Councilmember Gamble, a second from Councilmember Hanford for the requested action and agenda bill number 18-137. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 4-0. Thank you very much. Next item on the agenda is new business item number 2. This is AB 18-138, ordinance number 016-2018, amending MMC 9.28 Park Code. First reading, Mr. Farrell.
Thank you, Mayor, and good evening again, Council. So what I have before you is a cleanup, updating of the Park Code, a couple of provisions of it, updating standards and procedures regarding the sale of refreshments or merchandise and solicitors. They are the specific revised sections of the Park Code would be Chapter 9.28.090, sale of refreshments and merchandise, distribution of literature, and Chapter 9.28.100, solicitors, loudspeakers. I'll take questions.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
No questions. I'll move to accept as first reading ordinance number 016-2018, amending Chapter 9.28 MMC Park Code, updating standards and procedures regarding the sale of refreshments or merchandise and solicitors, providing for severability and fixing a time when the same shall become effective.
Second. I have a motion for the requested action and agenda bill number 18-138 from Councilmember Gamble, a second from Councilmember Hanford. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions. Motion passes 4-0. Thank you very much. Next item on the agenda is final action number 1. This is AB 18-139, ordinance number 017-2018, Iron Eagle final plat for final reading. Mr. Swanson.
Thank you, Council Mayor. So one quick thing to note, you should have an additional ordinance, a substitute ordinance on your desk. And essentially what happened there is staff referenced the wrong code section in the ordinance and needed to correct that. That's why it's actually a substitute ordinance. And so city staff received application for final plat from Iron Eagle. And as you can see, the property is located approximately right here off Curry Road. And there's a little better picture of it. And so it's the former driving range that had been around for a number of years. It's in between the large vacant parcel you see wrapping in, looks like a flag lot, is actually a city-owned parcel, and then existing development exits out onto...
I'm sorry, where?
Oh, the city parcel?
Yeah, right.
Okay. Yeah, this, the big, big one right here, yeah. And then... Exits out onto Curry Road there. You'll have the last page of your council packet. You'll have a little clearer view of what the actual plat looks like. And so the proposal is 29 single-family residential units on 6.61 acres. And staff reviewed the final plat for consistency with the approval from the hearing, or the recommendation from the hearing examiner, associated conditions of approval, and approval from city council. That was back in July 27th, 2016. And so subsequent to the preliminary plat approval, all the infrastructure was approved in accordance with the approved civil plans. Staff went out and verified that all the improvements were to plan, and any additional items remaining that were allowed to be bonded by code were bonded for, such as landscape strips. And so that was confirmed by staff. And with that, staff recommends approval to adopt ordinance number 017-2018, approving final plat.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. Can you go back a slide?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is just finalizing what we've
Correct.
We're not done, right?
Correct, yeah. So essentially, we've since changed the ordinance, but under the old ordinance, it required the preliminary plat that came in to go under the hearing examiner. They made a recommendation to City Council. So back in 2016, City Council saw this, recommended approval for the preliminary plat and the associated conditions of approval. And then at that time, they submitted civil drawings, essentially the infrastructure improvements to staff. Staff reviews those, approves those, make sure they're in accordance with the approved preliminary plat. Once all the groundwork is complete, staff checks it all off, make sure they met all the conditions of approval, and then they essentially come back in and we're essentially saying they met all the conditions of approval that were in from the preliminary plat.
Okay, and then the numbers are correct in the requested action, the ordinance. It's on the screen, right?
Correct.
Okay. I just want to make sure before I make the motion. Unless Councilmember Gamble would like to make the motion.
You have a revised motion.
So just the printed?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I move to adopt ordinance number 017-2018 SUB, approving the final plat for the Iron Eagle subdivision FP-2018-02, setting forth supportive findings, providing for severability, and fixing a time when the same shall become effective.
Second. We have a motion from Councilmember Hanford, a second from Councilmember Gamble for the motion that is in print that Councilmember Hanford just read. Councilmember Hanford, can you hand this down here so I can provide it to the clerk? All right, discussion on the motion. Councilmember Camp.
Councilmember Gamble, could you go back to the detail picture?
And I have one that gets a little more detailed, but it's still in half.
That's probably what it is. So that's the cul-de-sac portion is north, right?
Correct.
So on the other map, you have a blank area that's on the east side, so it's that lower section.
Mm-hmm.
And what's in there?
There's a lift station, I believe.
No, you mean, and this picture's at the bottom, right?
It'll be at the bottom.
Yeah. So that's the detention pond that WASHDOT got built for their 522 lighting.
Not that big area, just the thin strip. Okay, go back to those.
Oh, you mean just the thin strip? That's the
property? Yes, got that.
Access to all property.
Just the access to the property. Yeah. And there's no plans for the property in the back.
It's park property.
So
there's a trail across it and a lift station.
Okay.
A lift station. I believe there's some wetlands on it.
Yeah.
Do we have trails in there? I know we do at the north end of it. I didn't know we had any.
Yeah, we actually have a trail there. Yeah, right out of that neighborhood.
Oh, out there north.
Yeah, and then down, and then people walk that panhandle.
There you go. Now let's see what Councilmember Davis said. Thank you. That's all I can. Not good, thank you.
Okay, thank you. All right, we have a motion as stated earlier and a second. Any other discussion on the motion? All right, seeing none, we'll go ahead and vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions. Motion passes 4-0. Thank you very much. Also, I've received word that Councilmember Cutterback is on her way. She should be here in about 10 minutes or so. I'm going to add back the consent agenda item to the... Does that require a
vote to re-add up to the agenda?
Okay. Councilmembers, Councilmember Cutterback is on her way here. I'm going to ask that the agenda be amended again to add back the consent agenda item number 6, which is AB 18-135. That was the ordinance that was pulled earlier.
When she gets here, would be a good idea.
Yep.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. So we're going to go ahead and move on then to Councilmember reports.
I'm sorry, could you talk about this just for a second? So the thing that was just there, adding back the consent agenda?
It hasn't been added back yet.
Okay, I'm confused. Are we doing it?
What's that?
Are we doing it? Are we doing
motion? I'm requesting a motion to do it. Councilmember Hanford requested that we wait for Councilmember to come back to the room. I'm fine with that.
Okay.
But of course, you can make a motion.
No, I was just going to wait. But before we have the vote, I have a question. Wait.
Okay, cool. Sounds good. Thank you. All right, Councilmember reports, City Council Legislative Affairs update. Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. Yes, we met last week and we went over the lobbyist public affairs representative proposals review and read through the three different bids that were received, and so gave some feedback for Deborah to pursue and do some more fact finding, and then we reviewed the Monroe Boys and Girls Club review that inspection report review that occurred, and looking at their facility, and that was pretty much it. Yeah. Any other questions? Any questions?
Council members, any questions? All right, seeing none, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Let's go ahead and go down the dais. Councilmember Gamble.
Just if you didn't have a chance, I don't know if you caught on social media or not, but our high school students were down at the Fifth Avenue Theater last night performing on the stage because they were nominated for Best High School Musical. They didn't get that prize, but our local Ryan Hyde won Music Director of the Year for the state of Washington. So I've been wrong. And from what I understand, it's the first time that we've ever had winning an award. So pretty cool. Kids were pretty jacked up. They represented very, very well. And we streamed it the whole time, and it was very nicely done. I mean they had local personalities, you know, for the weather, professional actors, those that are starring in The Hunchback of Notre Dame right now. And it was really, really done well. And the kids did great. They performed on stage, so we got to see their performance via stream. So it was really good to see Monroe, Sky Valley represent. They were nominated for a dozen or more, so they kept throwing, you know, Monroe up on the screen, even in the honorable mention section. It was really, really, really neat. Other than that, just kind of a hit to the community with the cabin that went this weekend, finding out that we lost five residents, and now just neighbors, and just thoughts and prayers go out to the friends and family and affected by that tragedy. It's just unimaginable. That's it.
Thank you. Councilmember Kemp.
Thank you. I just want to echo what Councilmember Gamble said. Good times and bad times on both sides. Last week I wasn't here. I had the opportunity to attend the Public Sector Software and Technology Conference in Florida. Fascinating seeing what the artificial intelligence and cloud applications that are coming forth that will help municipalities and government agencies up and down, mostly concentrating in the state and down areas. A couple of things that I thought were particularly interesting is the ability to use tracking software on smartphones to identify problem areas within municipalities, and to be able to reference and find out what is being done about those particular areas in real time, or they've set it up. And the other thing was an artificial intelligence software used by police departments to help in reporting and patrol. And they're using it in the city of Los Angeles, and they're coming up with, again, the city of Los Angeles is huge, but it's having the equivalent of having eight police officers in terms of their patrolling capabilities. Those are two of the things that I saw last week. It was really interesting. And that's about it. And again, wish everybody a happy Father's Day to all the fathers here. And we're listening to the tape on this slide.
Thank you. Councilmember Davis.
I have nothing. No. Thank you. Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day.
You too.
Happy Father's Day.
Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. Yes. The Drake family that passed away was very involved in the community, and I wanted to let you know they were involved. Two students at Fowlands Elementary, and their oldest son was one of my son's best friends, and they were very involved adopted in the church and the community, so I wanted to let everybody know there's a Drake Family Community Vigil this Thursday at 7 p.m. at Cascade Church, and everyone will be coming to gather together as a community to grieve, remember, and pray this Thursday night. So it's open invite. So thank you.
Thank you. We go out to staff. So we have a Parks and Recreation update. Mr. Farrell.
So this is just a review of this last month. I mean, several of these items, we had council action taken and events like the ribbon cutting and this playground at Scarborough Park. We've been receiving just enthusiastic reviews from the community, children, and parents of the park there. The other item that the council authorized Mayor to sign an agreement for the design services for the Lake Tide project. So since that occurred, we have kicked it off, the project, and we've been doing a topographical survey of the site at the two fields there. And then we'll be next working on the process for the schematic design. And also we approved the agreement for a boat rental program. And we expect that rental service to begin this month, hopefully before the start of school, or before the end of the school season in a couple weeks. This weekend there are model boat races, I believe, out at the lake, and so events like that are like the dates that we've marked out or blocked out where this, that this doesn't like work together. So they won't be out on this Saturday. And then I have in the report also recognition of the flowers program. So we have all the flowers out that beautifies our town. I mean, this is something that we're known for, our flowers. We get a lot of comments, compliments. A lot of other entities will contact me asking, hey, what kind of flowers do you use, or how do you get your program together? For example, I believe it was last year, the Sultan, they were inquiring, kind of like, you know, they want to model kind of what we do with our flowers. So something we can be proud of, and definitely kudos to the Monroe Garden Club, Pine Creek Nursery, Monroe Lowe's, Republic Services, Downtown Monroe Association, and Monroe Reformatory for all of the contributions they all make to that program. Then the last item I have on my report is the monthly unmarked trail inspections, and just to summarize it, there were a couple camps discovered and reported to the police, and we just have this process, and where then the police make contact, and then if there's anything remaining in the camp the next week, we'll remove it. And what we're finding is our labor hours are really just settling into something like, you know, between 7 and 8 hours a week is what's spent on our staff time, and then we average about, you know, close to 8 bags worth of garbage, and yeah, it's not necessarily all just from encampments and whatnot, it's just garbage in general. And last month it was a little lower, it was about 5 bags. So that's all for the report.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Carroll. Any questions for Mr. Carroll?
Okay, thank you.
Please let the record show that Councilmember Cutback entered chambers at 8 p.m. during Mr. Carroll's presentation. Good evening. The next department to report out is our police update from Mr. Dickerson. Mr. Dickerson.
Good evening, Council.
Good evening,
Mayor. The community outreach and enforcement team was out. I had the opportunity to go out with these gentlemen and the lady and ride around, and actually, those camps are hard to find, but they found them. And they're pushing them way back into the brush and everything, but we're trying to trespass them, but they're being treated fairly and, you know, with respect. We wish more would go into the programs that we offer, but I figure if we get one, we save one, we save one. Sometimes you can't get everybody, but it's a great program. I would like to have had it in a number of cities that I've worked in. And I think you guys are pretty fortunate to have it. And I think Irving, our new, you know, interim deputy chief, is doing an outstanding job in that program. I really, really, really mean that. We had two clients went into inpatient treatment. We had three clients that completed chemical dependency assessments. One client completed mental health assessment. One graduated from treatment. One client is housed in clean and sober housing. Two new clients, and one client started medicated assisted treatment. If you were down on 179th by the hospital and saw a tank down there, I didn't really know that they were going to be down there, but it was the SWAT team. They were doing training in the empty building across the street. Fortunately, we didn't get any calls from the public, but they immediately did their training and left. But they're a very important tool to law enforcement, to the community. I was fortunate to go to a coffee with a cop over at Starbucks. The place was packed. The officers were passing out the coffee in the windows, communicating with the public. The kids were in there. It was really a fun time. That's the first time I've attended one of those, and I was really impressed. But it went very well, and we're trying to do those in other businesses in the city. We've talked to some of the other coffee shops. We'd like to get around and do more of those. I went to the meeting, downtown Monroe's Association meeting, and Irving and Chief Rosano, Judge Rosano was there, and she talked about the community court, and Irving talked about the two ordinances, the Lyon Street sidewalks in Minnesota, and it went very well. We also are doing a lot of walking. I mean, I spent a lot of time walking around town down there and passing out business cards and talking to people. And the officers are doing it now, the sergeants. I usually take a uniform with me when I go down there because I want them to see the officers, really not me. But, you know, they really appreciate that. And I'm a strong believer that police officers need to get out of the patrol cars and go in and meet the business community. We're going to expand out, and we're going to hit the malls, you know, by Fred Meyer and some of those businesses over there, too. But it's, you know, a little bit of a foot beat downtown is really important, and we've gotten a lot of very, very positive comments, and I think the officers are realizing that. But it's a lot of fun, and then you get the Sergeant Brian Johnson, who does a lot of things. He got involved in the Police Unity Tour. He bicycled, it was 300 miles, not 250, informed me. We were wrong, from Newark to Washington, D.C., and it was to raise money for the raise money, awareness for the officers who died in the line of duty, and also for the money for the monument back there. And he also performed his, I haven't seen him perform his bagpipes, but I've heard he's very good at what he does, and he performed those at Memorial Day flags for fallen. And that's really, really kind of nice. Your police officers in this community do a lot of things in the community. I'm really impressed with this department. I've only been here for about a month and a half, and they provide a real service to the community, and the community respects them. I haven't seen that in a lot of departments. And I've worked for Lacey Police Department for 35 years, and I worked in about 12 other departments. And I would say, even the other two up here, I would say you stand above all the departments I've worked in as far as providing the service to the community. And I may notice some of those things, and I think it's really fantastic. We have two officers, recruits, in the FTO program. We have two in the academy. One is due to graduate on July 19th, and I plan on attending her graduation because that's very important that people from the department go to these graduations, because those kids go through a lot up there. You know, I fortunately, when I went through the academy, it wasn't quite as difficult as it is now. They go through a lot, and I plan on attending her graduation, and it's an honor for me to hand her diploma. So I'm really looking forward to that, and I told her that because, like I said, I made a visit down there to see her. Then we have some open positions that we have a patrol officer position that's open, an administrative position that's open, and we have candidates that are, you know, doing backgrounds on fill those positions. And then evidence technician Julie She left and went to Florida, and she was well thought of there by everybody, and I guess she was really, I didn't know her that well, but she was quite an evidence tech and did an outstanding job for the department. But I have met Joe Hopke a few times and learned a little bit about guns, you know, and firearms and stuff from him. But he was fortunate to give me his 20-year badge, 20 years of service for the department, for the police department. We have some statistics, burglaries, vehicle crowds. I'll let you look at vehicle thefts and vehicle recoveries. You can look at those. I'm going to try to redo this a little bit. I want to maybe give you a little more information. I'll be working on it to come up with a little more. And I've talked to people at the department to give me ideas on what they think, you know, what they would like to see on there. But we're going to continue to walk downtown. We're going to continue to get out of our cars and go at night and go into businesses and say hi, introduce ourselves. Some of the things that your police officers are involved in, and I don't even have all of them, but National Night Out, Citizens Academy, Coffee with a Cop. They even go online when they see birthday parties. They're posted on Facebook, and they go over, and a couple officers will go over and visit the kids. And that's really nice. The Youth Academy that the mayor will be kind of involved in this year is starting, and we're even talking about maybe doing a little senior academy for the senior citizens, maybe go over and have lunch with them and put on a program over there and teach them a little bit about the crimes out there now that are preying on our seniors, and there are a lot of it going on. So that's one thing we can do, and we can also do some crime prevention in a business academy. Our detectives could do something like that, and if you can get your businesses some of the eyes open on how to deal with, you know, some of the frauds and things they deal with, that stops a lot of calls for service and stuff like that. So that's good crime prevention stuff, but I'm glad to be here tonight, and I wish you all the best. And I would like to say one thing, that we felt terrible at the police department about what happened this weekend, because we were physically there, but we were dealing with the sheriff's office up north or south on that issue, and it's just a terrible, terrible thing. I don't know why the officers are, you know, still, we're keeping an eye on it, but it was pretty bad. We pray for the family and all the relatives too. Thank you.
Any questions, counsel? Understanding. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, Public Works update, Mr. Feilberg.
Okay, in your written report is the usual list of project updates and grants and things like that. So one new thing that's in there this month and will be continuing for a while is the progress report for the public workshop. Even though it says number 3, if you look at it yet, it's for the action, the first one they gave us, and everything 1 and 2, but we're not sure why they started with 3. And so they'll be coming out weekly, and so in your monthly reports we'll have all 4 or 5 of them for the month that will be in your reports. One thing that came up last week was the citizen comment regarding the no parking signs in cul-de-sacs. You have some papers in front of you about that. There's a excerpt from the Monroe Municipal Code. And there's 2 yellow highlighted areas. The one on the first page, there you go, yellow highlighted area. And then the letter from the fire marshal from the fire department. So the request from the fire marshal was what prompted the signs to be installed. They were installed under the first yellow highlighted portion of the code there, talking about how fire apparatus access roads are no parking zones when they're needed for the maneuvering of fire apparatus. And the reason the cul-de-sacs are that wide, and currently they're 45 feet in diameter, this one's a little smaller than that because it's older, is because they need that to turn around. That's why they're there. That's why it's not explicitly in the code that it says there's no parking in cul-de-sacs, but it's implied by the use of the no parking in the fire apparatus road, and the reason the cul-de-sacs are there is for the fire apparatus to turn around. Let's see what else I have to say. And the other, the second yellow highlighted area in the municipal code is where it talks about other areas that the city council has to approve no parking areas or parking zones. We can't think exactly where they are otherwise established by the code, and so we figured that was not a, a council didn't apply in that case because the earlier portion of the code said that the there was no parking in the fire apparatus area. So if that's something the council would like to consider further on or have a different interpretation for staff, we'd be happy to either have you discuss that now or have us bring back some more information for you to consider in the future. Any comments on that?
Councilmember Cutterback.
Well, I just have a question about the letter from the fire chief. So in his, and I recommend that it is signed or marked in a manner enforceable by law enforcement. That's a recommendation. So I guess, is he suggesting we have to do it, or is it a recommendation?
It's a recommendation because he, because the code requires that there be no parking there unless the sign's up or it can be enforced.
Because right now it's not, when he saw this, it wasn't marked as a fire lane.
It was not marked, correct.
So, and then his recommendation, so the code doesn't apply until it's marked as a fire lane.
We can't enforce it. It needs to be signed before it's enforceable.
Right.
Right.
So it was signed and then it's enforceable.
Correct.
Right, but putting up the sign was a recommendation.
Well, he asked us to put the signs up so it could be enforced, so that they would have appropriate turnaround, yes.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. So, you're going off of 10.10.020D1.
Yes.
A definition of fire lanes: the area within any public right-of-way easement or private property designated for the purpose of permitting fire trucks or other firefighting or emergency equipment to use, travel upon, or park.
Correct.
Okay. Do we have other areas in the city that are intended to not have people park?
All of the
fire access?
All of the cul-de-sacs. Is that's staff interpretations of that, and then it would also be the city council that we discussed a month or two ago,
yeah,
about the widths of the streets,
right.
And it was decided that that would not be, it would be used state law, which is the 10-foot minimum. So if there's any other, if the fire department would ask for another street that was wider than 10 feet, that would actually come back to council because that hadn't been established as a fire apparatus access road.
And does state law have any bearing on cul-de-sacs as it does with road right-of-way?
No, there's nothing in state law regarding the no parking in cul-de-sacs.
Councilmember Cutterback asked the question whether or not somebody was allowed to park in that cul-de-sac before the sign was put up. Before the sign was put up, was it legal for them to park in the cul-de-sac?
It was not enforceable for them not to park there. It was the staff's interpretation of the intent of that, this code and the Monroe Public Works standards, is that there was not supposed to be any parking in cul-de-sacs.
In any cul-de-sac?
In any cul-de-sac, yes.
Okay. All right. So, council members, the ask before you right now is whether or not you'd like this to come back for a study session or for more discussion.
I would. I need a little bit of time to kind of read this. I mean, this was just here just now, so I'd at least like to read through it, and then if I come back and
Okay, we'll go ahead and put this on an upcoming agenda. I was informed before the meeting that they have either removed the signs in the particular cul-de-sac that generated this comment. So they've either been removed or they've been hooded.
Yes.
But the regulation is not being enforced at this point in time in that cul-de-sac.
Correct.
Okay, is there any particular information that council members can think of? I know this just came to you this evening, with a response that you'd like additional information on, and if not, certainly we can we can discuss it in an upcoming study session. Councilmember Cutterback?
Can we bring back what we looked at before? Because I'm trying to get a sense of what we had looked at as a council a month or a month and a half ago. We looked at all the streets in the city and looked at kind of parking, no parking. So I'd like to bring that back and kind of look at it in total and understand the difference of what this is. And I understand this is cul-de-sac, but there's other cul-de-sacs. So that's what I'm trying to make sense of. I thought we had decided months and a half ago that we weren't making changes, and then I saw this. So I need to see that in this together. That would be helpful.
I'm just more clarification. So you want to look at all parking?
Well, no, just what was presented to council before, and we made a decision before, and we talked about it, that we weren't going to make changes, if you remember. And so then the changes happened. So I'm trying to get a sense of why this change happened and not others. So if I can look at it all together, that would be helpful. And I'm sure there's a different, I just don't see it in front of me, so. Does that make sense to council?
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Okay.
Ms. Knight and then Councilmember Gamble.
I just want to make it clear, there hasn't been any change. So nothing has changed. This is your existing code, and what's happening is that we are enforcing your existing code. So the fire district sent a letter to the city saying, we notice that people are parking in this cul-de-sac, and in order to enforce no parking, we're asking the city to install signs. So we installed the signs in order for their fire apparatus to be able to service those homes adjacent to that cul-de-sac. Because right now there were, Brad, was it correct, there were 10 cars, I think, parked?
Eight
plus the gentleman who came. Made his two vehicles made 10 total. So there were 10 cars parked in that cul-de-sac. And so that's what's bringing this back to you.
Yeah, and I'm not suggesting the code has changed, but what we have looked at before has all the city streets in the whole city, and we looked at that, and I know there's other cul-de-sacs. And I understand we have a letter that says I recommend, so I would just like to see all of it all together.
Okay.
Thank you. It's okay. Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, that's all I was going to say. It's not a change. The only reason why I personally, because I researched it about a year or two ago, because we were having troubles with our cul-de-sac. And to what Brad was saying, I mean, it's all cul-de-sacs, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
Not supposed to be any parking so that the fire engine can turn around in a dead end street where the cul-de-sac is. That's probably why it wasn't, in the parking discussion, because it was already deemed as there's no parking, on a cul-de-sac. So that was my recollection.
And there's signs on every cul-de-sac.
There's not. That's okay. The piece that there's not signs, and okay. So basically we're in that position now. That's what they're talking about is like there's not supposed to be parking. We don't have signs for good, so that's not reasonable to enforce. But we are in a position where. Fire trucks can't turn around, and our code reflects that we're not supposed to park there.
Okay.
Councilmember.
See it all.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Sounds good. Anything further, council? Okay.
Okay. One more thing.
Yep.
Amateur Radio Week, which you discussed earlier. So, if any of you are available on Saturday the 23rd between 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., we'd appreciate you coming down to schedule the park. And then you may have seen some signs around town for the grind and overlay that's going to be happening. The big one is Main Street from 179th to Kelsey Street. Will be ground and overlaid, and also the wheelchair ramps at the corners will be redone to bring up to current standards. And so we're just sending out postcards to all the residents and businesses that are adjacent to that to let them know that that's coming. And then we also had a DOE grant that we applied for Blueberry Storm, which was denied. We didn't score high enough for their to make the cut for how much money they had. So we just found that out. And that's all I have, unless there's any other questions.
Okay. Any questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you,
Okay, other staff members who haven't spoken yet. Mr. Swanson, do you have anything this evening?
Just real quick. We officially rolled out our electronic plan review. And so what we've been doing just to test it out is essentially word of mouth. And so people come in, we give them the option to want to try out our electronic plan review. We've had a few bumps along the way. We're trying to correct those things. But,
continue to hone it. It's a new thing to us. We went and visited other jurisdictions and sought input from other jurisdictions, but that's something we're officially moving forward with now and have put it out there for everyone.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Swanson? Okay, Ms. Hassert?
So as of yesterday, we are officially in the 2019 budget cycle. The call was made for all the departments to start thinking about their requests, and then, and as you know, council had approved the budget calendar itself, which is available on our website for those that are interested. But yeah, we're starting the cycle all over again.
Thank you. Any questions for Ms. Hassert? All right, let's come on up here. Ms. Knight.
So just a quick update on the chief recruitment. The recruitment closed last Friday. We received 10 qualified applicants. Bob Cardman with Hoffman is currently reviewing those applications, making some follow-up phone calls, and then we'll be meeting with the mayor and Mr. Worthen, Mr. Cardman, and myself next Friday. We'll be going through all the applications again and then identifying which applicants we're going to plan to move forward for interviews. And those interviews are tentatively scheduled now for the second week in July. So just starting to set up those panels and see what that looks like following the first review process. Just an update there. I do want to bring to council's attention just two meetings that are upcoming, kind of came up at the last minute. One is being put on by Grow Washington and the Department of Commerce. One of them will be held here in Monroe, and it's an opportunity for small business owners and entrepreneurs to come and meet one another and exchange ideas. So I'll pass this around. It'll be held on June 26th, starting at 6 p.m. So just trying to get the word out about that. Also, notice that there is going to be a meeting hosted by Snohomish County up at Willis Tucker Park asking for citizen input on trails. So I just posted that on the city's social media sites. Again, hoping that people will get the notice at the last minute. This is scheduled for June, I think 26th is when that's scheduled for, and I'll try and get more information out and about. I think we've got a Parks Board meeting that evening, Mr. Farrell and I do, and so we are going to be trying to get out there, put in some comments, and get back. So I've contacted Snohomish County staff to see if there's a way for us to submit written comments instead of having to be there necessarily in person. So just an update on that. On upcoming agenda items, just a reminder for you, at our next meeting on June 19th, it is a study session, but we will be hosting the school district. So Dr. Frederica Smith and some of her staff members will be here to talk about school safety. We've also asked for somebody, a representative from the sheriff's office, to join us for that conversation, since a number of schools are outside the city limits, and yet we're still interested in ensuring that our students are safe when they are not necessarily right inside the city of Monroe. We will also be talking about then, your meeting for July 3rd is canceled for observance of Independence Day, and then just bring to your attention that on Tuesday, July 10th, we're going to be having our brokers group come back. So Mr. Stowe and the representatives from Lee and Associates will be here to be sharing with you the marketing materials that they've prepared for the North Kelsey site, and then we're also going to be talking about the pricing of property in executive session at that same meeting.
Thank you. Got a couple lights. Councilmember Kemp.
Thank you. A month or so ago, I asked about information regarding the YMCA and that program we initiated this year. Mm-hmm. Have we got any?
We are going to be having the YMCA here in August, but I did hear that they fulfilled all of their, they sold all of their memberships, their mini memberships, and so that opened back up. I want to say, was it July 1st that those reopened? And so they have a waiting list already for some of those memberships starting July 1st, so they fulfilled all of their requirements at this time.
So we're going to, do we have to reinitialize?
No, it was part, it was an annual contract.
But I thought we had to do something in July.
No, their current memberships close in July, and then all of the memberships reopen. So a different group of people potentially have the opportunity to come and use the YMCA services.
So we don't have to do a step, take a step in?
No, we don't have to take any step.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
Just for the record, I will be on vacation for the 7-10 meeting.
July 17th?
No, July 10th.
7-10. Oh, I'm sorry, July 7-10, got it.
Yeah. Not 7-10. On ESPN, is what you're thinking about?
No, 17, 7-10, got it.
7-10.
Okay. Anything for that? Anything for me?
Nothing for me.
All right. So we do have an item that we did pull from the consent agenda earlier because it requires 5 affirmative votes. Now that Councilmember Cutterback is here, there's at least the potential for 5 affirmative votes if that's the body's desire. I've asked that there be a motion to add back what was consent agenda item number 6. So the motion would be to move to amend the agenda to add AB 18-135, ordinance number 13-2018, which is a 2018 budget amendment, for final reading, which was consent agenda item number 6. Councilmember Hanford?
I move to add an item to tonight's agenda. That item would be AB 18-135, ordinance number 13-2018, which is the 2018 budget amendment final reading.
Second. I have a motion from Councilmember Hanford, a second from Councilmember Gamble to add back Agenda Bill 18-135. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 5-0. Was it your intent to dispense with it at this time?
Correct.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Hanford?
I move to adopt ordinance number 013-2018, amending the budget for fiscal year 2018 to account for actual beginning fund balances and new revenues and expenditures, providing for severability and establishing an effective date.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Hanford, a second from Councilmember Gamble for the requested action in Agenda Bill number 18-135. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 5-0. Thank you very much, everybody. For the mayor's report, Monroe this week didn't make it in. That was the other item that didn't make it up that we noticed. So you can certainly take a look on social media if you'd like to take a look at that. A couple items of note. Since Monroe this week, I had the pleasure of being part of an award ceremony for people from the Historical Society. Sunday, I feel like it was yesterday, but it was Sunday. We handed out awards to probably about 8 or 10 people. The Historical Society was started, I think, in 1976, and it was really interesting hearing the stories about how it started. Apparently, on the national level, when the bicentennial occurred, there were grant dollars made available for local community museums and historical societies to get started. So there were people in that room that were part of initially starting that from 40-plus years ago. So. Anyway, it was a pleasure being part of that. Also, I'm thankful for Snohomish County Council Member Lowe and the County Council for dropping off a check yesterday for $10,000 to our Monroe Arts Council to help out with the bathroom at Wagner Arts Center. So, you know, please, when you see him or the county, please thank them for that donation to the Arts Council. That means a lot for our community. I think that's all I have to report this evening. If you've got anything from Monroe this week, feel free to touch base with me. We do have a need for executive session. I'm sorry, Councilmember Cutterback.
Could I just share one thing?
Yeah.
So I went to a talk today that the school district put on about vaping in the school district and the community, and it was really enlightening and I think good information. And I think there's some potential of the city and the school district jointly looking at this issue. I've seen a lot of, it looks like, young kids, middle schoolers, and community parks vaping. And so I think it's something we should start paying attention to and look at. So I was hoping if council was in agreement, we would have Chris Jury is the counselor at the high school who handles that and did the presentation at the school district. I'd love for him to come in and do the presentation here, and maybe we have a discussion of how we can work jointly with kind of tackling this problem. If you look at the data,
high school seniors in the Rose School District, it is, the amount of vaping is so much higher than even the state level, what's recorded in the state. So it really is quite a problem in our community, and there's a few reasons for that, but I think because it crosses over into the district and to our park areas, it would be really great to have that information here and start talking about it. So I have his contact information.
We'll have Scott.
Yeah, we can arrange that. He's willing to come in and relay the same information. So
we'll have staff reach out to him and schedule him for an upcoming meeting.
Perfect.
And I just want to clarify my recollection. Mr. Farrell, we do prohibit vaping in our parks. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, sounds good. We'll contact them, though. I think that it's important for all of us to hear and think about how we can be part of that solution. Thank you very much, Councilmember Cutterback. Yeah. All right, we do have a need for an executive session this evening. It's agency litigation, RCW 42.30.110, subsection 1, subsection little I, 10 minutes. Okay, we'll start off with 10 minutes, and there will be action to follow, if nothing else, to adjourn the meeting. So we are in executive session at this time. Thank you, everybody. Okay, back on the record. There's no further business needed this evening. Councilmember Gamble.
Move to adjourn.
Wait. Oh, she forgot. She's remembering. Wait, hold on. There's discussion on the motion.
Well, I have a motion to adjourn from Councilmember Hanford. Who was the second? I'm sorry, Councilmember Gamble. Look
second
at that.
Was Hanford.
I didn't discuss that.
The second was Councilmember
Gamble.
Second from Councilmember Camp. Discussion on the motion to adjourn. Councilmember Cutterback.
Before we adjourn, I'd like to wish all of you a happy Father's Day.
Thank you.
That was nice. All right. Seeing no other deliberation. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions. Motion passes 5-0. We are adjourned. Happy Father's Day, everybody.
Good.
Thanks.
Yeah.